Good evening. It's a very special time tonight. It's the culmination of 7 weeks counting Sfiras Omer, 49 days, anticipation to Klal Yisrael's wedding, Kivayachol Takadosh Baruch Hu. And we're in the Shloishes in Me'agbala. The first thing right away is like, it's funny that we got this name for the 3 days right before Maimon HaSinai. This name stuck. Shloishes Yimei Hagbala. The 3 days that we created a border and gates, a fence around the mountain. It doesn't seem to have much of a eternal message and meaning for us. It's not Negeya, we're not by Har Sinai. The concern by Har Sinai was Klai Yisrael, out of tremendous love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah, they're going to start running up the mountain, and it's going to be too much Kedusha, and it's going to be terrible, people are going to be dropping like flies. So we have to make Hagbala, we have to make a surrounding circles and fence work of these beautiful flowers around the mountain, keep everybody in their place. Matan Torah, we understand, has to do with us every single year. And we anticipate it, and we count for you. So, Omer, Shleishes Yimei Hagbala, big deal. And why are they called Shleishes Yimei Hagbala? You want to say it's the last three. It's the last three. It's the finishing line. We're coming close. We're about to get the Torah. But why call it Shleishes Yimei Hagbala? Gvul, boundaries. This week's parsha, we have the parsha of Nasai, the parsha of Saita, and then the parsha of Nazir. We're all very familiar with the Gemara, and Rashi brings down that what's Pshat, Nazir, and Saita right next to each other, because when a person sees a Roya Saita b'kulkula yazir atzmi minayayin, somebody sees a Saita in her terrible state where she's being destroyed and in her bizyoinis in the Beit HaMikdash, should learn a lesson and keep away from wine. I mean, the Goyim seem to know that wine has its dangers as well. It's not something specific to Klal Yisrael, not something specific necessarily to Saita. There are dangers. Don't drink and drive. All right, they didn't have cars in those days. Rashi couldn't say when he's about to drive a car. But what's the specific association between wine and Saita? A Kohen and a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to drink wine. A Kohen before he goes in to do the Avodah is also in wine because he could ruin the Avodah. A Talmud Chacham before he paskins a Shaila can't drink wine. It's going to make his mind think crooked. Wine just knocks out everything. Specifically Saita. Yeah, Saita. You drink a little and you get Kalis Raisin, of course, but that'll do the same thing to any Avera. Any Mitzvah and Avera will go down the tubes. But a guy drinks too much. What's the specific relationship Davka to Saita? You know, unfortunately, we heard the story, I think it was 2 summers ago, with the terrible, unfortunate accident that happened because of a Kiddush club in the country. Actually, it's a family I know very well. During the evening, right after the Shachris, the bungalow colony had a Kiddush club, and this teenager went and drank, lost track of time, didn't realize it was Shabbos, went back to his parents' bungalow, took the car keys, and in a drunken state, drove out of the bungalow colony, onto the highway, ended up tumbling off the highway. Baruch Hashem, he was glad to need something. Nothing terribly serious happened to him. But Chol Shabbos could have ended up with Ritzicha, killing somebody, anything. The guy drinks a little too much, he ends up with everything. Why specifically is there an association between the Nazir and Davka Saita? Secondly, we find that the Torah makes a huge deal out of a Nazir. The Torah is more complimentary of a Nazir than a Talmud Chacham. And we know a Talmud Chacham is more chashuv than a Nazir. But the Torah speaks about a Nazir even more than a king. You have a whole parsha, Nazir, Neder, Nazir, Lahazir, Lahashem. He's mamish, he's wearing a crown that his hearers refer to as the crown of God that's on his head. This Nazir. Big deal. He's not drinking. You know, you have a lot of people that are vegans, They don't eat meat their whole life. You have people that only eat organic food. They're so concerned about, you know, the anamachla and organics and health, you know. And there's so many people out there that have a lot harder things to keep away from. What's the big deal? The Torah Mamish refers to him as a kadosh. No. He kept away from wine a little bit. And what's Taka Pshat that this it's called a nazir, which refers to a lashon, it's a lashon of a crown. Nazir. Nazir, alikav al reishai. Nazir, crown, okay. It's got long hair, and we know it's for a mitzvah, it's very nice. In general, what's the point of a crown? We just had in Pirkei Avos, we had the three crowns. Keser Malchus, Keser Kahuna, Keser Torah, Keser Shein Tevah. What's a crown? What does a crown do for you? It's nice, it's impressive. We're not talking about any person who has the Memches Kenyani HaTorah walking around with a physical crown on his head. So what does the Mishnah mean when it says that there's a crown over here? You want to say that you reached a great height in Torah? You reached great heights in Torah. Ooh, a Talmud Chacham Shalim. You want to tell me that a Kayin, there's something called a Kayin in its prime? What does it have to do with a crown? Who needs a crown? What's the point of a crown? Nezer Alekav Al Roshay. So also in this week's parasha, when Moshe Rabbeinu finished putting up the Mishkan, and they started the Karbonis of the Nesiim, the parasha begins, Vayihi bayoyim kalois Moshe lahakim es ha-Mishkan. When Moshe Rabbeinu finished putting up the Mishkan, this was the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's taking it down, dismantling it, and putting it back up. Vayim she'achoysoi ve'kadeshoysoi ve'skol kelov ve'smizbeach ve'skol kelov. It was a grace of simcha. Chazal say that this day was mamash simcha lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu kebriya shamayim v'oretz. And it's kiyoyim kechupasoi. Tremendous simcha before HaKadosh Baruch Hu this day. It's an unbelievable day of simcha. And on this Chazal darshan vayihi b'yoyim kalois Moshe. Kalois. Why do you say kalois? It should say kilois. When he finished. Why do you say kalois? Sagt Rashi, Hoyu Yisrael kekalo hanichneses l'chuppah. Klai Yisrael, at the time of the completion of the Mishkan, Klai Yisrael approached the Mishkan like a kala going into the chuppah. Okay. But we find this very, very, very much so by Matan Torah. We know in Parshas Yisrael, all the minhagim that we have for a chuppah in a chasana, come from Eimer HaSinai. Klai Yisrael was betachtis ahor, we have a chuppah. The mountain was like a chuppah over our heads, alright, it was a thread also. You know, some people say that marriage is that also, okay. But it was a chuppah, the tachtis ahor, and it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down, he was waiting for us, just like a chasin steps down from the chuppah, we learn out from there, to come and greet the kala when the kala comes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there first to come and greet the kala. There are many halachas that we learn out. The flowers, the meaning that we have flowers, also comes from Eimer HaSinai. By the chuppah. Many minhagim that we have by the chuppah all come from Eimer HaSinai. Because we find by Chazal that many mashalim and nimshalim to a chasna kala by Eimer HaSinai. By the luchais, also it says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished teaching Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah and he gave him the luchais, the pasuk says, and this is in Parshas Kisisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, when Hashem finished talking to him on HaSinai, Hashem gave him Shnei Luchais, so Eidos Luchais, Yavin Kshuvim Be'etz Malikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the Luchais. And also the expression of Kechaloisai, when Hashem finished talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, what's Kechaloisai? Is that Rashi? Also like a Kala, and over here Rashi says Tupshatim. One Pshat Rashi says is that it was a Kala because the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu like a gift. The greatest gift of all that we all appreciate is our own wives, a kala. So the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu like a gift. So in this regard, the Torah was the kala, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the chasam. Secondly, Rashi says, Dover Acher, Ma kala miskashet is b'chof dalet kishutim. So too, Av Talmud Chacham Tzarech li yizbaki b'chof dalet svarim. That there's 24 Sifrei Tanakh, and a kala, we learn out, has 24 adornments that a kala wears. So just as a Kala has 24 adornments, every Talmud Chacham should have the 24 adornments, should have the 24 pieces of jewelry, meaning all of Tanakh he should have on his fingertips. I was one time in a shir by Shmuel Birnbaum Zitzal, and he quoted some pasuk in Tanakh, and I had no clue what he was talking about. And obviously my astonishment and my blank face was very apparent. Now I'm looking at the Roshiva straight at him, dumbfounded. And the Roshiva looked at me, and he stopped the shir, and he says, "You don't know the pasuk?" I was like, "No." Was I supposed to know the pasuk? I was like, for all I know, I didn't even hear of the Navi that said the pasuk. I don't know. Amos, I wasn't too familiar with the names of the Navi either. So he says, "What's haste? A Kohel Yangaman shouldn't have all Chav Dalet Kishutim? You shouldn't have all 24 forms of jewelry? You don't have them on your fingertips?" I don't know when the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal learned it. Anytime you spot him, it was with the Gemara. I don't know what he did, but he knew it cold. All 24 Svarim. Very often in Shmuzin, he'd quote Pesukim left and right. But anyway, Kechaloisai, Kechala also refers to the fact that the 24 Sifrei Tanakh are Kishutim for a Talmud Chacham. In this regard, again, we're seeing that the Talmud Chacham is like the Kala. And he's wearing the Torah as its adornment. So what do we have to learn from these mashalim that we are a Kala? We can have a little identity crisis over here. And the name of the shir was Kala Classes for Men. But it's interesting that Chazal referred to us as Kalas with regards to the Torah, with regards to our marriage with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So we have to take a little mashal of an imshal and learn taka from the Kalas and how we could find chen, find grace and favor in the eyes of our chassan. That's what the Shloshes Yemei Hagbolah is about. So most of you probably are aware of a lot of the things, and it's just a question of bringing them down to earth in terms of our relationship with the Torah. The purpose of a crown that the Nazir wears, the word Nazir comes from a lashon of Zar, estranged. And the point of a crown, anyone that wears a crown, is to estrange others. I am the king and not you. Many other politicians around the king can get a pretty high and powerful and mighty feeling now and then. The king serves as a reminder there's only one crown, period. Nothing else. You could be wonderful, you could be smart, you could be powerful, you could have money, you could be my friend, you could be my advisor, you could be my cabinet, you could have everything. But if there's one crown, that means there's a very distinct line that's drawn. Nazir, you're a czar. Relative to being the king, you are estranged. You're separate, you're different, you're apart, you're aside. There's only one king and nobody else can touch the king. That's the purpose of a crown. Kayhanim, there's something called a keser of kahuna. Kayhanim have to stand their guard. We just had in last week's parasha. The kayhanim, if a czar would approach and try to do the things kayhanim do, is chayim misa. If a Levi did the wrong things in the Beis HaMikdash, he was Chayiv Misa. There had to be a very clear distinction. It's very nice you're a Levi and you want to help out. It's very nice that you know Hilchas Shechita. You want to shech the carbon? A Zar could shech the carbon. But don't you dare try to take the dam. Ooh, you try to be Makabal dam and sprinkle it on the Mizbech, you're dead. And there has to be a very clear line that's drawn. That is the point of a Nazir, a crown. Zok the Evan Ezra. What is so unbelievable about a Nazir? This is on the pasuk of Ishki Yafli. And he does a wondrous act. Zok the Evan Ezra, what was this wondrous act that he accepted upon himself of Nazirus? Yafrish a Yaseh Dover Pele. He's separating. He's doing an act of separation. Or an act of wonderment. The majority of the world follow their desires. Now again, what's he doing already? Big deal. keeping away from wine. It's an unbelievable Rabbeinu Yaina that he says, better than all Tanesim, and better than all Sigufim and Yisurim that one can accept upon himself as a kapara, the best of all is that when you got a full plate in front of you, leave over some. And it seems like such a small little act, big deal. What am I doing? Leave over some! He's discussing when you still have an appetite to finish it. Leave over some, and he refers to it mamish like a lashon of a korban. It's mamish like a korban al mizbeach Lashem. It's good for the fact that it seems so small that makes us not be machshir to actually do it. We like to do big things. We like to feel like we're doing something big. So when something seems small in our avodas Hashem, a small improvement, we don't even bother. How far is it going to get me already anyway? It's not worth it. How much am I going to steig from leaving over part of the Danish? May as well finish it. No. The person that actually takes that little improvement seriously and he acts upon it, he's doing an unbelievable davar pella. The Araya, who does it? Who does it? Raiva Ilam. It's kosher. It's nothing wrong with it. They finish the plate. It's so small. It's such a minimal, tiny act of prisha from taiva. It's nothing. So nobody even considers it to be worthy of the investment. It's a davar pella. It's a pella. But even more so, what we see from the Evan Ezra is that what this person is doing, what the Nazir is doing, and that's what gives him this name of a Nazir, it gives him a crown, and it sets him so distinct and separate and apart from everybody, is this specific point. He becomes a loner. He becomes different. He's different, he's separate, he's apart, he's not drinking soda, any soft drinks, punch, juice. In those days, they didn't have anything. It was water and wine. So that means for a month, it would be very awkward for him to attend any parties. L'chaim! Sorry. All right, have a little of soda, you know. B'dievadug, l'chaim. Sorry. Nothing. Nothing. No drinks. It was water or wine. He couldn't even participate in society in the most demanding of social duties to attend the Levaya. Can't go. His best buddy. Can't go. Everybody's going. Can't go. He becomes almost antisocial. He becomes a loner. He becomes distinct, separate, and apart from society. That's a nazir. The first step of being a kala, everybody knows, is giving her the ring. What did the ring do? We certainly hope it's not a Kenyan Kedushin yet. There's no Eidim, and she's not your wife. It's not a Kedushin. You give her an engagement ring. What does the engagement ring do? It tells everybody else, get off. The first act, and the thing that defines someone as being a kala, you know, a ring lahalacha, engagement ring lahalacha is meaningless. Kedushin is what really makes somebody a katla, an arusa. What's the lashon we use for kedushin? Ariat mekudeshesli. The word mekudesh, as Tosfos says in Beis Hamavim, kedushin means mufresh. You now have become separate from the rest of the world. You have a chassin, you have a kala. The night after the vart starts sinking in. Wow, we taka are different. Is this going to work? That's when it starts settling in. So what do you do about it? When the gedolim came to Reb Shmuel Birnbaum Zitzal to make takanas against varts, so they wanted to say, no more vars, you make a little l'chaim, the parents, and said, that's it, just have a l'chaim, out with the vert. And they put a lot of pressure on the Roshiva Zatzal, you know, sign the paper. So finally he ended up being maskim. But he wrote, I'm only going to sign my name if you add a clause to the paper, and that is, with the exception of special circumstances. And right after they adjusted the paper and brought it in for signing, he signed it. And then he commented to all those that were there, and every chosn and kala are special. And the reason why that he was so against it was because the anticipation and the excitement and the fact that it became a public, well-known affair that everyone's coming to give mazel tov, it adds weight. It adds weight. And it starts putting you in a forward motion to go forward, put in more effort, put in more excitement. It makes it a little harder to turn back. It's healthy. So the second step of a kala is anticipation. Anticipation. Looking forward. Setting the chasm date, looking forward and preparing for it. Can you imagine if the family of the chasm kala would be uninvolved in the party planning? Totally uninvolved. Everybody, well, outsource everything. Outsource everything. Let somebody pick out the gown for the kala. Let somebody else design the emblem. Let somebody else to pick out, you know, kind of invitation. Let them take care of the mailing list. We're not even going to see the invitations. Don't bother with the stamps. Sounds great. But the less involved in the anticipation, the less of a kala you are. This anticipation, this build-up, this looking forward to it, this activity, the whole hullabaloo, the busyness, that also builds up this connection between the chasan and the kala. The Rambam says it's impossible for somebody to be besimcha and not share it. The essence of the midah of happiness, it has to be shared. You can't have a chasana without friends. It doesn't exist. It doesn't work. Hey, it can work. It'll be chal. The kedusha will work. But it won't be a simcha. Simcha must be shared with others. The good feeling of the heart has to be overwhelming, spill over, and that simcha is shared together with others, then it's a simcha. So a person has to go and involve his friends and invite his friends and take them in and make sure they're going to come to the chasana. Now we get a little more intimate. It's the day of the chasana. The day of the chasana. She's going to the nail person and to the makeup person and to the hairdo person and to the... All the people, you know, of course, the whole time she's saying Tehillim, you know, like, you know, in the ear, she, you know, yeah, Tehillim, sure, you know, fine, you know, Tehillim. But the day of preparation, Chasin, I don't know what he's doing. He just puts on a suit, shaves. The Kala is very busy. And then finally is the marriage. Kala class for marriage, the kala has to be moitzi chen be'enei bayo. The kala has to put an effort. What does he like? What does he appreciate? What does he want? And she has to put an effort into making sure that her husband doesn't decide to start looking at other people. She has to put in an effort, make sure he makes suppers that he likes. Make sure to have the house in a condition that he appreciates it. I'm not trying to put a lot of duties upon our wives. But these are things that are Ezer Kenegdai. There's a Gemara in the Masechta Shabbos that they asked Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, what is it that makes a wife Ezer Kenegdai? So he says, the husband goes out to work in the field and he brings in kernels of wheat. She goes and she grinds it. He comes home and he brings home fabric. On a roll from the market, she goes and she sews it into begadim. On a very practical, simple level, of course, there's probably a lot of deep meaning behind that gemara too. But on a very practical level, Anisha has to be moitzi chein ve'enei baila. She's got to put in the effort. to bring this back to Matan Torah. Here we are, Kadosh Baruch Hu goes, and the first step to making Klal Yisrael the Kala is Hivdilanu min HaToyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and he took us out of Mitzrayim. We know Sa'ur Shabi'isa, we were in this Arev, mamish like a dough that is one mixture with the Mitzrayim. We were assimilated. It was terrible. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and he made a Havdalah. And he said, Klal Yisrael is racious. And they're Bechayri, and they're Bani. And they're different, they're distinct. That was our V'hivdilanu. We have anticipation. Looking forward to the Chasana. 49 days of anticipation. The 49 days aren't just supposed to be counting down, it's supposed to be preparing, activity, working on midas, the memches kinyani atayra, to prepare yourself to be a kala. Maimed HaSinai itself is considered the chuppah. That's where we're mamish leaving everybody else behind, even our own family. That's what happens at the time of chuppah. The kala not only is now separate from the rest of the world, she's even separate from her father. A little nice, somebody I know. By his chasana, right after the chuppah, you know, pictures, against hour on pictures, everybody's waiting, pictures. It's fine, taking pictures all together, and everybody's happy, smiley, you know, putting until the cheek muscles are already killing them. And suddenly the chassid notices that, you know, the kala's taking pictures with her sisters and this and that, fine. And the kala calls over her very well-respected brother-in-law. And she wants a picture with her brother-in-law, alone. This friend of mine told me. He didn't know what he was watching. What's going on here? You got the wrong guy. One second here. And she proceeds, you know, come, it's me and the oldest brother-in-law. Unfortunately, for a nice time after the marriage, every single thing that the chassan, the husband, would state an opinion about something, everything had to be double-checked by the brother-in-law. Any move he would make, what did the brother-in-law say about it? Not the kala's brother, the kala's brother-in-law. And he went and he was shaylated by somebody. He said, that's not marriage. The first step of marriage is to be 100% reserved. Havdalah. That's what it is. Kiddushin, Mufrash, Muvdal. Hagbalah. Totally, totally separate from the rest of the world and dedicated to the husband. Baruch Hashem, everything fixed itself, and worked out. They had an understanding with each other that there should be no more phone calls made for another year between the two. And everything came back to normal. So at the time of chuppah, there's a tremendous level of havdalah that's expected. Not only just from the rest of the world, but even from the kala's family. She's now totally dedicated, solely alone with her husband. The chasana itself, the chuppah, mitans, mefreitzach. It's a tremendous amount of animation. We come to Maimon Har Sinai, and the Ibishta puts on a fireworks show, Shein Kamayu. There's thunder, there's lightning, there's fire, there's smoke, so the whole mountain is shaking. What's the big deal? As a matter of fact, Chazal say, then why did we have the tremendous mixel of the Egel afterwards? And why, when we got the second Luchais, was it such a quiet affair? Zakhazal, the first Luchais were given Bipumbi. With a tremendous attraction. It was a tremendous, tremendous public affair. The whole world was quiet. The whole world was still dead. It says in Chazal that not a single animal made a sound. No bird chirped. The whole world is a standstill. For Maimon Har Sinai. So Chazal, ooh. It's a little too much fanfare. And Mela, it's almost like there was an Ayin Hara. There was room for kitrig, and right away the satan was makatrig. Klal Yisrael deemed the egel, it was terrible. Second luchos was done very quiet. First Rabbeinu went up, 40 days later he came back down. The luchos, quiet, 2 o'clock Yisrael Torah, no great shakes, no thunder, no lightning, no smoke, no shaking mountains, nothing. All quiet. Frektzich bekasho. Didn't the Hebrews know this in the first place? But Hashem didn't, he wasn't sure, he had to ask his PR guy, should we do this as a public affair, should we do it quiet under the carpet? You know, so what, the cabinet upstairs, all the malachim says, yeah, let's go full force, let's go all the way up. Oh, we made a mistake. Feistos, you see from here that the chasana has to be with all the animation in the world. It's got to be powerful, exuberant, and exciting, and the music, and the makeup, and then the gowns, and then the suits, and everything. Why? It's chitzonius. We don't value these things. Chitzonius. Who cares? Oh, grace a band. Let the friends of the chazan do a little singing, you know? No, they got big to do out of it. It's needed. Even though it comes with its complications, it's needed. That excitement and that unbelievable affair is needed. Even though it may come with its complications. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it with all the animation, all the fireworks, the tremendous show of power. It came with the problem later, the ego. No. It was worth it. We had to have that. So we have the Shloshes Yemei Hagbala. The Shloshes Yemei Hagbala means, the first of all, we've already been past our Hivdi Lanu, past the fact that we left Mitzrayim, we got the engagement ring already, and now's the time when we're coming to the Chuppah. And if we want the Torah, we want the Chosin to like us, we got to drop our brother-in-laws. How much ideology we're listening and exposing ourselves to from the Goyim. All those brother-in-laws, all those uncles, all those you know, friends on the block. The Kala can't have any boyfriends. The Kala can't have favorite uncles. The Kala can't have a brother-in-law that she adores. We can't have that either. Hivdilanu, Hagbala, borders, boundaries. That's our Havdalah, the Shloshes Yemei Hagbala. We got one more day of anticipation to build. Those of you who are staying up at night, those of you who are not staying up at night, there's some anticipation that comes with the staying up at night. Build it up. What am I going to be learning? Where? With who? Bring your own sefer. You know what? Maybe buy a new sefer and learn from it. Build the anticipation. We buy a Kala buys new clothing, new jewelry. A little fresh, a little anticipation, a little activity, a little excitement. We got one more day. This is our Kala. You know, if we, Chas V'Shalom, forget our wife's anniversary. Ay, ay, ay. Right? Ay, ay, ay. I shouldn't say our wife's anniversary, our anniversary. Right? Make up for it! At least that. A whole year. We ignore the chasen a little, you know? We ignore our chasen. We ignore the Torah a little. One day we have to go and make our anniversary. This is our anniversary. Put everything into it. All the excitement, all the memories, all the nostalgia, all of that love. Rebuild that. This is our anniversary. You want to be Maitzi Chayim Be'enei Baila? Rebuild that excitement. One day a year. One day. One night. Relive that wedding. Relive that dance. Relive the experience of walking out of the chuppah with your chasen and kala. Relive that simcha. It needs a little anticipation. Tomorrow, get involved in it. What am I going to learn? With who? Where? Which sefer? Get involved. Prepare yourself for it. Don't walk into it dragging your feet. Yeah. What are they serving at the shul? You know, for the every 2 hour break, whatever it is. With excitement. Simcha can only exist with friends. Don't expect to experience Simchas HaChasana by hearing a shir. You're not going to feel it. You might be inspired. If you're lucky, it might actually keep you up. And if you're lucky, it might put you to sleep, depending on what you want. But you're not going to get the simcha when you're just receiving. You get the simcha when you're sharing the simcha. You have to take a chavrusa. The difference between just hearing a shir and sitting down to a sefer with a chavrusa is mizrach l'mayrif. You want to feel the simcha. You want to share the simcha. You just want to sit there and, you know, be inactive. You want to get in on the dance. You got to dance with your friends. Nobody likes to sit on the sideline and just watch the chassan dance in the middle. The simcha only exists together with a friend. Make sure you get a chavrusa. Take a chavrusa. If not for the whole time, at least for part of the time. Take a chavrusa. Make up with him before tomorrow night what to learn. And then you'll have something to dance about. It'll be exciting. It'll be full of ahava and love and simcha. Put on the makeup. Put on the jewelry. Put on the gown. Get animated. Don't pick a little corner in Beis Medrash. You know, the Rav's giving a shir. We'll learn quietly. Find some place that you can make some noise. Find some place that your chavrus asks you something that you think is a bad kasha. You could scream at him. You go to a ball game and you just sit there like this. If you're a real fan, you get into it. You get animated. You get into it. Kishmak, lebedig. Don't go someplace, you know, the Rav's giving a shir. We'll do this quietly. You want to go to a quiet chasana? You go to a levaya. This is not what it's about. We're not going to a library. We're going to a chasana tomorrow night. Get into it, get involved, make noise. And even if it's fake. You know, all the makeup's fake too, you know. We all buckled, we thought the makeup was real, right? Maybe not. It's fake, but it's good. It's important. It adds to the excitement. It adds to the simcha, even if it's fake. Get animated. And last but not least, is the effort that the kala has to put into the marriage of the chasana. There's an unbelievable Gemara in Sechta Sanhedrin. Daf Yomi is doing it now. It's probably in a few more blot. I don't know where the Daf Yomi is holding exactly. Daf Tzadi Tesam and Beis. The whole Gemara about learning Torah. And there's two lines at the top of Tzadi Tesam and Beis. The Gemara says unbelievable two lines. The Torah is not just a book of knowledge. It's an entity. It's a metzius. We all know there's something called a malach. You can't see it, you can't feel it, you can't smell it, you can't touch it. There is something called a malach. And it exists. There's something called the Torah, and it exists. And it's got a personality. And it has its preferences who it wants to be married to. It doesn't attach itself just to anybody that opens it up to study its words. It's a relationship. And the Torah has its preferences. And the best supper, the thing that it loves the most, is Amelus. We think of Amelus as being this terrible... Amelus doesn't have to be terrible. Amelus could just be the difference between being spoon-fed a shir or working something over with a chavrusa. It's also Amelus. The Gemara in Sanhedrin's Lashon is... If you're amel b'Torah, ha-Torah oimeles lach. You have a hard concept to understand. It's not going in. You have to find favor in the eyes of the chassan. What should he do? There's been a little friction in the relationship. It's not going in. There's a little problem. We haven't been talking for the past 2-3 days. What's going on? We have to rebuild that connection. There's one thing that always works. They say the key to the man's heart is his stomach. No, you give him a good supper. What's the key to the Torah's heart? Amelus. A little effort. Im amalta b'Torah, Torah ameles lach. If you put in a little effort, it's a little hard concept to understand, you put in a little effort, try to figure it out instead of being spoon-fed the information, that little amelus, that does the trick for Torah. Torah is a meles lach. The Torah will put in the extra effort for you. Let's look at tomorrow night as a wonderful, beautiful 10-piece band, smorgasbord, you know, chasana, you know, on the town. That's what it is. Relive the memory of Maamar Har Sinai. Make it exciting. Make it geshmak. Make it full of love. We should talk about nostalgic, but Torah, Yisrael, the rice of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. All right, well.